Please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin with verse 1. We're looking at a new chapter now, a different chapter, and a different subject. And actually, it's not so much a different topic as it is a different aspect of the same general topic that he discussed in chapter 8. The theme, or the topic, of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is a favorite subject of preachers, because the topic in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is paying the preacher. So let's begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Now he's going to talk more about this subject in the verses that follow, but we're going to stop here and wait until the next lesson to talk about those verses. So let's go back to chapter 9, verse 1, and let's remember as we look at these verses that when Paul first wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, he did not divide the letter into chapter divisions, much less verse divisions. That's important to remember because the subject, as I said, is not really any different as far as the basic idea is concerned from what we find in chapter 8. Remember that in chapter 8, Paul began to discuss matters of liberty, matters of conscience, matters of option, matters of culture. And Paul said in these matters, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the certain acts or the certain issues that he's talking about. But sometimes he said it's better to forbear. Sometimes it's better to forego participating in those acts. And so in chapter 8, he talked about the question of eating meats that had been offered to idols. And Paul said there's nothing wrong in itself with eating those meats, but because of the effect that your actions have on other people, and because some Christians cannot conscientiously do that, it's better in that situation to forego eating meats. Now, in chapter 9, what Paul does is to use himself as an example, because Paul had the right as a preacher to be paid by the church at Corinth. Paul had that liberty or that right to expect that pay. But in this chapter, he tells us that he did not receive pay from the church at Corinth, and he's going to go into the reasons for that. Remember that Paul was there for 1.5 years working with the church at Corinth. How did he get by then? How did Paul live from day to day and pay for his food and anything else that he needed? Well, the Bible tells us that there were two sources of income that Paul had. Number one, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 18 that Paul made tents. That was his occupation. That was his trade. And so he made tents and made some money by that occupation. But we also learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Paul did receive some outside support from other congregations of the Lord's body. But he did not receive pay from the church at Corinth. And again, we'll go into the reasons for that as we proceed through this chapter. It's also interesting in 1 Corinthians 9 to remember the tone of Paul's writing here. And the tone is defensive. Paul is defending himself. As a matter of fact, in verse 3, you notice the word answer. That's not just a response or a reply. The word answer there means a defense. So Paul is defending himself. And throughout this chapter, you're going to see a total of 20 questions that he raises. And that indicates, of course, that Paul is reasoning with these people. He's trying to defend himself. Let's begin in verse 1 then of 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul said, "Am I not an apostle?" Well, Paul had worked with these people. They should have known, and most of them did, without question, realize that Paul was an apostle. That's clear to us. But remember that there were some people in Paul's day, and there were some people in Corinth that questioned his apostleship. And even after he wrote this letter to these people, we find in 2 Corinthians chapters 11, 12, and 13 that he's still responding to some of these people that did examine him and question his apostleship. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, Paul said, "The signs of an apostle were done among you." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he talked about those who examined him and questioned his apostleship still. But Paul said, "Look, I am an apostle." All these questions that he raises in verse 1 are rhetorical questions. They're questions that answer themselves. In other words, Paul is saying, "I'm an apostle." And then he asks the question, "Am I not free?" And I believe that connects to what he talks about later in this chapter when he talks about being free from all men, and yet he made himself the servant to all. That was Paul's attitude. Paul said, "I don't have to do some of these things, but I do them for the benefit of other people, especially the benefit of other Christians." Paul said, "Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord?" That was required of Paul, and Paul saw Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Acts 22:14 is where Ananias talks about that. "Are not ye my work in the Lord?" You are, in other words, my work in the Lord. That congregation at Corinth was Paul's work because he started that work and he labored with them for 1.5 years. That is a good commentary on what we read in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, where Paul talks about a man's work. In verse 2, Paul said, "If I be not an apostle unto others," and what he means by that is that there were some people who did not consider him to be an apostle. In their sight, in their thinking, he was not an apostle. But he said, "Though that's true, I am doubtless, I am surely, I am certainly an apostle to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." In what way were these Christians the seal or a seal of his apostleship? Well, these people had been very immoral. They had been very irreligious. They had been very idolatrous. But Paul converted these people. He put great time and effort and love into this work. And because of the love that he had for them, he oftentimes experienced great pain in his heart and sorrow when these people went astray. And Paul also, remember, had conferred upon many of these Christians spiritual gifts. So in these ways, and perhaps others, they were the seal of his apostleship. So all these Christians at Corinth could have known and should have known, and as a matter of fact, most of them did admit that he was an apostle. But there were some people that were questioning the Apostle Paul. In verse 3, he said, "Mine answer, that is my defense, to them, that is those of you there in the church at Corinth, that do examine me, is this." So what was taking place in the church at Corinth? There were people in that congregation who were examining Paul. They were scrutinizing his life. They were questioning Paul just like you would question a witness on a stand in court. They were investigating this matter just like somebody that was being accused in court. They were doing that to the Apostle Paul. And they may have questioned his apostleship because he worked for a living. Remember that while he was there, he didn't receive pay from this church. He worked for a living, and some believe that that could have caused some of these Christians to look down upon the Apostle Paul. Isn't that amazing? If that's true, then that means that these people could not be pleased, because if Paul received pay from them, some of these people might accuse him of doing it just for the money. But if Paul did not receive money from these people, then they didn't respect him, and they said, "Well, he's not really an apostle." So the first thing that Paul does is to tell these people that he did have and does have the right to be paid by the church. In verse 4, have we not power to eat and to drink? The word power there means the liberty or the right to do something. So Paul says, I have the right to eat and to drink. And what he means by that is that he has the right to be paid by the church, by that congregation, so that he can eat and drink. And not only that, Paul says in verse 5, have we, that is, people like Paul and Barnabas and others, have we not power, don't we have the right to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Now notice what Paul is saying here. Not only does he say that we have the right to be paid by the church in order to have money so that we can live, so that we can eat and drink, but we also have the right to be paid by the church enough to support not only ourselves individually as preachers, but to support our family. Because he says in verse 5, we have the power, we have the right to lead about a sister, a wife. And that was usually the situation. If a preaching brother was married at all, he was usually married to a Christian. And so his wife was not only his wife, as far as the physical relationship was concerned, his wife was also his sister in the Lord. And of course, that's true today when you have a Christian man married to a Christian woman. That woman is his sister in Christ. That was the situation oftentimes in the first century. And so that was and is the ideal situation. Now, Paul oftentimes in the book of 1 Corinthians presents the ideal situation without stopping and discussing whether or not this is the only kind of situation or relationship which might be acceptable to the Lord. He talks about the ideal or the usual many times in this book. So Paul says, I have the right to be paid by the church there. Even though I'm not exercising that right, I still have it. He says, even though I'm not married, because Paul was a single man, even though I'm not married, I have the right, if I chose to have a wife and to be supported by the church enough to provide for my needs and for the needs of my wife as well. Paul says, other apostles have that right, so why would anybody question me as to whether I exercise that right or not? And he does bring up Cephas here, who is Peter, the Apostle Peter. This is another verse that shows that Peter had a wife. We read about that, of course, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, that Peter was a married man. And so this is just another verse in the Bible that shows that Peter was not a pope, much less the first pope, because in Catholic teaching, a pope cannot marry, and yet Peter was married. And then in verse 6, Paul points to himself and to Barnabas, and he said that we have the right to forbear working. We have that right or that privilege from God so that we don't have to do some other kind of work. And when he says we have the right to forbear working, he's talking about other kinds or other areas of working, because preaching the gospel is labor. It is work. And if it's done right, it is hard work. And Paul shows in this chapter that because it is labor, because it is work, he had the right to be paid by these people. But Paul teaches later that for the good of the church, he was willing to forego that right, and that's what he's teaching these people in this context.